Topic 2.4 is explain what's meant by passive transport, diffusion, facilitated diffusion, active transport, including the role of ATP, endocytosis and exocytosis, and describe the involvement of carrier and channel proteins in membrane transport. So we've looked at osmosis, and now we need to look at diffusion. Now, diffusion is the movement of solutes, things that are dissolved, and it's a form of passive transport. Now, diffusion itself is the process by which molecules and ions move from a region of their high concentration to a region where their concentration is lower. You do not need to have a membrane for diffusion to take place. It will just happen throughout the cell, throughout the fluids, but we're looking at specifically transport into and out of the cell. Diffusion depends on concentration gradient, the distance over which diffusion takes place, the area over which it takes place, the nature of the structure across which it takes place, and the size and nature of the diffusing particles. So we can look at simple diffusion. Something like glucose could just pass straight through the membrane, perhaps. Some molecules can do that. Some rely on there being an aqueous channel for them. So simple diffusion, a molecule just passes straight through the cell membrane itself. Facilitated diffusion involves channels that make the diffusion of some molecules easier. So a channel protein would form a water-filled connection, allowing water-soluble substances to move across. Channels respond to certain signals to control entry and exit, so we can refer to them as being carriers as well. Okay, so we can have a carrier that relies on that molecule bonding with it in order to change its shape and allow it to enter. That's not going to involve any energy. It's just going to do that on the basis of the bonding of the molecule. So if we've got proteins, carriers or channels involved, then we refer to that as facilitated diffusion, whereas diffusion straight through the membrane is simple diffusion. Active transport involves energy. Now, the difference between passive transport and active transport is one of gradients. The passive transport will take place from high concentration to low concentration, down the concentration gradient, whereas active transport will pump molecules from low concentration to high concentration up or against the concentration gradient. So it will use energy. It takes energy to run up the steps, but it doesn't take energy to slide down the slide. So energy is needed to drive the process. And you may find some examples of that, especially in the sodium-potassium pumps that you'll look at when you do A2. To move in and out larger substances, then processes like endocytosis have to occur. Now, we can have phagocytosis, where food or a particle is engulfed by the extension of the cell, of pseudopodia, so protrusions of the cell membrane that wrap around the particle and enclose it in a food vacuole, where it can fuse with an enzyme containing vesicle or lysosome, where it can be then dissolved and digested. Bacteria can be absorbed in this way. Phagocytosis means literally cell eating. Pinocytosis is a similar situation where a vesicle forms containing fluid from outside the cell. So that's cell drinking. And if you want to get rid of substances from the cell, you can do so in large quantities through exocytosis. So you'd expect to see a large number of vesicles being formed in cells that are going to indulge in exocytosis, such as goblet cells. And you'd expect to see lots of an organelle called Golgi apparatus. You don't need to worry about them until topic 3.